fasten your championship belts, because this podcast is unprofessional. Welcome to your weekly home for wrestling reviews, discussion, predictions, and more. This is Unprofessional Wrestling. Here are your hosts, Schwartz, George, and Travis.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Unprofessional Wrestling, and welcome back to our weekly live stream that we do right here on YouTube. If you're watching us on YouTube, don't forget, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, hit that notification bell. And if you are here live with us on YouTube, feel free to leave us a chat and join the conversation, because today we're talking about WrestleMania weekend. We're talking about the results of WrestleMania Night 1, Night 2, and there were some big things that happened on Raw two nights ago as well. So we're going to get into all of that. And first, I got to ask, boys, did you have a good time at my house on Saturday watching Night 1 of Mania?
I did. It was very fun. We had a nice crowd of people, good vibes, and all around, it was a good show.
I had a blast. Besides all the shenanigans after, it was great.
Besides the shenanigans, yeah. We got a little tuned up.
You're going to need to move your hand on your microphone because the Discord keeps giving you everyone.
Oh, I see that now. Stupid. There's got to be a way to turn that off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so WrestleMania is in the books for 2025. And overall, it wasn't bad. It was kind of mid overall, I thought.
Yeah, I feel like they were really reaching for some of these matches, and it showed.
If you had to give overall WrestleMania a letter grade, Shorts, what's your letter grade?
I would say they have some good feuds in there. They kind of stuck to everything. I would say maybe a B minus, C plus, like in that, just on the cusp of that.
I gotta go C plus.
I was going to go B minus. Just
all right.
A lot of title changes, which is, you know, not a bad thing. And then some shockers for a lot of people. And
yeah,
a lot of predictable stuff.
I respect that. No answer is wrong.
We didn't get The Rock, which could have
been
flat E.
Okay. Well, all right. Since you brought it up, that's where I want to start. Deep breaths. Don't lose your mind. Everything's okay. Why the fuck was The Rock not at WrestleMania?
He was trying to solve his Rubik's Cube.
Why the fuck was The Rock not at WrestleMania?
Maybe
tell me. Make it make sense. Can any of you make sense of this?
Well, I'm sure you heard the interview yesterday.
Oh, don't get me fucking started on that either. Oh, my God. Let it out. I was listening to Busted Open on Sirius yesterday. Was it yesterday? Monday. Whichever day it was. Was it yesterday? He was on Pat McAfee?
Mm-hmm. Tuesday.
All right. So I was listening to Busted Open on Tuesday, and they mentioned that The Rock was supposed to be on Pat McAfee that day. So Busted Open ended, and that's when Pat McAfee's show starts. So I threw Pat McAfee's show on, and 15 minutes from the start of the show, there's The Rock. This motherfucker, he said he didn't need to be involved in this. So, Shorts, did you hear or see what was said in this interview?
I only caught snips of it.
So
I was not able to watch.
The long and short of it was, apparently the CEO of TKO reached out to The Rock and said, "Hey, ticket sales for Elimination Chamber are down. Can you make it so we can boost some ticket sales?" That was the reason The Rock was there and got involved with this whole John Cena heel turn. And afterwards, The Rock apparently told Cena and Cody that the final boss's work is done.
Mm-hmm. It makes zero fucking sense.
Make it make sense.
It doesn't.
That's lazy.
And they
That's
could
lazy.
Make it make sense, but I feel like some of this stuff is The Rock stepping in, stepping out, like whether or not Triple H wants things to go a certain way, he only has so much control when certain people are involved, apparently. I am just flabbergasted. So if you haven't heard, and I'm sure you have, the night two main event of WrestleMania saw John Cena defeat Cody Rhodes, basically with the help of Travis Scott. And we never got an explanation from Cena as to why he aligned with The Rock. We never heard how Rock was involved in all of this. We never learned anything about why Travis Scott is wrapped up with The Rock. No explanation for any of this shit, right? Nothing.
No.
Make it make fucking sense. We're going to get t-shirts once we have enough people that actually watch us that say, make it make sense. I say it all the time. All the time.
It doesn't make sense at all. Like, you know, he was at, what, was it SummerSlam when he first showed up and did the whole 1-2-3 cutthroat?
It was either that or I don't remember which one that was. It feels like so long ago now.
Well, either way, like, you'd think that, okay, this is going to, like, lead to something, and then it happens again at Elimination Chamber, and then nothing, and then he just says, oh, I'm done. Like, he didn't do anything.
I feel like this either is just the dumbest fucking thing ever, or there is something more to this, and he's just talking shit on Pat McAfee to throw people off, which I don't think is good, because that just made this whole WrestleMania thing worse to me. I would have rather not heard anything from The Rock and wondered, okay, there's got to be something else happening here, so that I kept some hope or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's, it's just lazy.
It feels lazy. I don't understand why The Rock can come in and just convolute this story that's been building for a while. And I was all for it, and I thought everything did make sense. And I thought that The Rock being involved, like, we didn't have any answers or explanations, but it felt like we were going to at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Nobody, I don't think anybody expected Cody to win. I think everybody thought that Cena was going to win. He was going to get the record. That's all fine and dandy. How they did it is what I have an issue with. And the lack of explanations behind everything that happened is what I have an issue with.
I mean, after Travis Scott came out, I'm like, okay, 5 minutes later, we're going to get The Rock. And nothing. Just whatever. I'm done.
I couldn't give two fucks less about Travis Scott either. Maybe I'm the one that's getting old and I don't understand what's mainstream anymore. But, like, is he actually that big of a deal?
I feel like Schwartz would have more of a background on this.
On Travis Scott?
Yeah, man. He's like your dude.
Yeah, you have the same name as him.
Just because of that? No.
Same
Travis
hair.
Scott is somewhat of a big deal in the rap community, and I'm wondering if that is... Maybe that's why. I mean, they love bringing in different viewers from different genres and whatnot, so obviously they love bringing just all the audience from there, from Travis Scott, whoever know him, try to bring in new people. I don't think people that absolutely love Travis Scott are really going to give a shit about wrestling. Cause they're mainly like, it's like people that love rap and they're just too cool for everything. But I don't know. I just feel like also the only thing, I don't know.
I get the reason for wanting him involved in something because it'll probably bring more eyeballs and yada yada. Right. We got Colton. Shout out to the Bulldog in our comments. I'm a ride or die Rock guy. And he is. He's always been a big Rock guy. Mm-hmm. So that helps make this crystal clear. If somebody that is a mark for the Rock says, His lack of follow-through screwed this whole show. There seems to be a power struggle between Dwayne and Hunter. And I don't think there's a power struggle, but there's definitely an element of, oh, if this is what The Rock wants to do, this is what we have to do. Like, whether it makes sense or not. And it doesn't. CJ says the Travis Scott interference ruined the match. It didn't ruin the entire match, but also, like, that's what people are going to remember. People remember the end. They don't remember the beginning of the match, the middle of the match, whatever.
So would you say that Travis Scott pretty much cost Cody the belt?
Yes, of course. And like I said, I don't think anybody thought Cena was going to win clean. He's a heel, and that doing it this way further solidifies it. Cena winning the title and getting the record, number 17, was ruined by Travis Scott celebrating next to him. People are going to look back on this and be like, what the fuck was that? Mm-hmm. Travis Scott will forever next to be Cena winning this. Colton said, let me correct myself. Night one had a terrific main event. Night two's first three matches were awesome. Dirty Dom for the win. 1,000%, buddy.
Yep.
Absolutely. CJ's giving Mania a 5.5 out of 10. I think for me, it's fair to say overall, the multi-person matches were the best. Both of the triple threats, the fatal four-way, I thought Tiffany and Charlotte mostly delivered. I think Jade and Naomi was exactly what it needed to be. And that didn't fall flat on its face.
Which match were you disappointed in the most?
Oh man, not even because I thought the match was bad, but I was definitely most disappointed in the women's tag match. So let's talk about this real quick. We learned Bayley was attacked in the day or two leading up to WrestleMania, where her and Lyra were going to challenge Liv and Raquel for the Women's Tag Team Championships. Bayley supposedly not cleared to compete, and we wouldn't find out who her replacement was until WrestleMania. Everybody fucking knew that this was going to be Becky. Becky had clearly been in Vegas. She was at the Hall of Fame. She'd been with Seth in town. It was no surprise it was going to be Becky. I was holding out hope that maybe it was going to be Paige, because if they were going to bring her back for the surprise return, you'd think that they would hide her leading up to it, but they didn't. I don't know what this was supposed to do, especially when you considered what happened on Raw. I'm very perplexed by this. I feel like this is kind of similar to when Becky made a surprise return and squashed Bianca in the title match out of nowhere. People were pissed about it, and this is similar. They really fucked Bayley, who really earned the spot and deserved it. Even though her and Lyra weren't a tag team, and it's just very random that they were put together at the last second for this match, that I didn't understand to begin with. But now you take her out of it for somebody else who Lyra's never tagged with, and then they beat Liv and Raquel just for Liv and Raquel to win them back
24 hours later.
I understand the point of this is probably to turn Becky heel and start a feud for the IC title against Lyra, but why did it have to go this way? Lyra didn't need to be involved in this tag match to begin with at WrestleMania. I don't get it, guys. Make it make sense.
I mean, I see Becky going after her Intercontinental belt, but...
Exactly.
Other than, like, have them win and then lose the next night, just... I don't understand that either.
You could have had an actual tag team at WrestleMania go against Liv and Raquel. Not this quickly slapped together tag team of Bayley and Lyra, who should have never beat these actual established tag teams in this gauntlet match to be the number one contenders to begin with. Lyra and Becky, I think, is going to be a good feud. So I'm trying to be positive. But they made Liv and Raquel lost these championships to a team that has never been together before. just to win them back 2 days later. And for what? All they did was use these titles to try to get Becky over and start a different feud that has nothing to do with the women's tag titles. This was dumb. This was stupid.
It's all storyline.
I know. I know we'll get into it later, but I was reading earlier that Becky might be the first Paul Heyman girl.
Yeah, and I mean, I hope so. I mean, it makes sense. So I don't know. That's what I got to say about that. I'm glad Becky's a heel turn. The reports are that the heel turn was all her idea, and that this whole tag team thing was also her idea, supposedly. And if that's the case, that's pretty fucking shitty to be like, I want to take Bayley's spot, or whatever the case was. CJ says, women's triple threat was good. Men's four-way was great. Street fight was meh. Orton and Hendry was fun. Women's tag was awful. AJ and Logan was mid. Yeah, that was okay. I don't understand Logan Paul winning, but maybe that's to help advance this AJ and Karrion Kross thing, which I think is very much needed. So if something 100%. Actually, if something comes out of Karrion Kross and AJ because of that, then you know what? I'm all for Logan winning.
I mean, I'm all up for them being like a tag team together.
I want to be a faction.
CJ goes on to say, Cena Cody got ruined. Jay Naomi was horrid. What? Do you guys think that match was bad?
I enjoyed it.
I'm not saying it's the best match on the card. Also, like, even if somebody says that's the worst match, that's fine. But if all the other matches were good, that doesn't mean that match was bad either. I thought that match was what it should have been. I think they both did all right. Sure, Naomi carried it, but Jade played her part, and the right result came out of it. I don't know. Well, outside of that, night number one opener, Jay Uso. Yeet. Wins the title over Gunther.
Makes him tap out.
Yeah, that's kind of surprised me.
Yeah, a little bit.
Second person to ever do that.
To make him tap. I think Ilya was the first. Ilya Dragunov in NXT.
Gotcha.
Very quickly, yep. Too. Then we got the New Day versus the War Raiders. Okay, this is another issue that I have. Match is fine. This would have been a good like main event match on Raw. Why did you put this match on the card? It was thrown together so quickly, and we had no Big E appearance or anything like I was hoping for. So now that we didn't get that, I don't understand why this match was on the card. Like I said, Jay defeats Naomi. LA Knight versus Jacob Fatu. No surprise, and a great match, too, but Jacob Fatu is your new United States champion. Tiffany Stratton versus Charlotte Flair. I enjoyed this match. I know a lot of people didn't, but I mean, this match for me is a solid B-, C+. I thought this was fine. I had no issue with it.
She did not lose a tooth, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know if she had like blood or something on her tooth that made it look like part of it was missing. I don't know.
How do you know that she didn't chip her tooth?
Well, because she smiled in a picture right after the match and all her teeth are there.
They have a ton of people that work there. Who knows what?
I doubt they have a dentist that's just there to instantly put a filling in as soon as your match is over.
You don't know that.
I'd be surprised. You're right. I don't know, but I'd be surprised. That's all I'm saying.
They have doctors that can pretty much perform very, very minor little stitching and surgeries.
No, I get that.
Did they help you with your back or what? How do you know this?
Yeah. How do you know this?
Yeah. Are you
the chosen one? Who chose you?
Have you not seen the people get stitched right up there?
No, of course. You guys ever see Beyond the Mat?
Once upon a time.
I have.
Yeah, they had that after that I Quit match with Mick Foley and The Rock. They had, the video of Mick getting stitched up backstage with a giant bandage on his head. And then, of course, the main event of night one of WrestleMania, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and first time WrestleMania main eventer, CM Punk. His video package his entrance was really fucking cool. It was emotional. It was It was great.
You were crying.
I wasn't emotional.
Yes, you were. We were both there. You're crying.
CM Punk did say he had to walk out of Gorilla while that played because he didn't want to lose it. And he was played out by Living Color. And I believe it's only him and Triple H who are the only two, I want to say, to be played out live for WrestleMania. Especially with the same band.
No. Didn't Rhea Ripley have hers? And didn't we have this little conversation too last time?
Rhea's weren't the same band.
Punk is the only one.
Rhea's weren't the same band.
What?
Nope. And actually, I don't know if her first one is even at WrestleMania. But that was a different band. Back when it had the female singer version. And now it's Motionless and White.
Right, but he sang it the first, or he sang that one.
No, it was a girl singer.
I know, but she switched to him, and then he sang that version.
Yes, but it's a different song altogether, but I'm saying the same band twice. A different band and a different song entirely.
I don't know. I think you're just making things up now.
No, I'm not. It's night two of WrestleMania. We saw the triple threat match for the Women's World Championship, Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, and Bianca Belair. And we saw Io retain, which is what I predicted. Just saying. I did win the scorecard challenge.
We all predicted it.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
but,
I did.
I thought this was a great match. Arguably match of the night. Actually, it probably was the match of night two for sure. Good finish, good action. Hell of a match. Drew McIntyre defeated Damian Priest via pinfall in the Sin City Street Fight. We had Bron Breakker, Penta, Finn Balor, and Dom Mysterio. And I think we all predicted Dom on this. At least I did.
I did.
But great finish. And huge pop from the crowd, and it was really cool when he was halfway up the ramp and then ran back down to celebrate more.
I mean, I'd probably do the same thing.
That was awesome. We saw Dom basically prevent Finn from winning before Finn prevented Dom from winning, which I think was a surprise, but it showed that he was doing whatever he needed to do. So that was very cool. Randy Orton versus... Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. In London, in Paris, in Tokyo.
I totally called that.
Randy Orton defeated Joe Hendry in less than 3 minutes. A lot of people online bitching because they're like, wow, they just made the TNA champion look like a fucking dork. But I think that's stupid because he lost to one of the best in the world on the stage of WrestleMania.
Randy Orton handpicked him to be his opponent.
Had to have.
That's who he wanted. Like, they're like throwing all these people at him, and he was just like, no, I want Joe.
And yeah, why not? So that was really cool. Great moment.
Joe manifest this, months ago. Months ago.
Oh, yeah.
He was interviewed about it.
Apparently, he was
like, I'm going to be in WrestleMania.
Yeah, absolutely. Apparently, he was booked to lose against The Miz on a Raw or something in Glasgow, and the TNA president at the time ixnayed it because he didn't think their world champion should lose to The Miz in his hometown. And actually, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
AJ Styles versus Logan Paul. And of course, we saw Logan Paul defeat AJ Styles, and Karrion Kross was at ringside and had a little bit of involvement or distraction in there. So like we said, hopefully that's going to go somewhere with Karrion Kross and AJ Styles. Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Becky Lynch and Lyra. Of course, we saw Becky Lynch and Lyra win the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. And for one night, we had Lyra two belts. And then, of course, Cody Rhodes defeats John Cena for his 17th record breaking.
Who'd you just say?
I said John Cena defeats Cody Rhodes.
No, you said Cody Rhodes defeats John Cena.
I'm not drinking. I'm not. I'm sober.
You should be drinking.
John Cena defeats Cody Rhodes for his record-breaking 17th World Championship.
Record-baking.
Whatever.
Hell of a cookie.
No.
I don't need for the now the now discontinued Undisputed.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to fucking sell this shit.
Championship.
No, so
keep it.
Colton asked, did we catch Karrion Kross's promo after WrestleMania? Did you guys see that post?
Yes.
So good. The next day, Scarlett posted, whatever happens next, we did it our way.
Yep.
So obviously, like, you know, Kross is trying to kind of take control of what's going on. And damn it, he did. And we saw him on Raw. So
I figured he's going to be fired within an hour. But
I think we see him and AJ in a tag team or in some sort of stable. I don't know, but I think it's going to happen.
So bad.
Yeah.
So bad.
Yeah. I'm all about it. I don't think they wanted to take a stable away from Karrion Kross, but they just wanted to let go of the people that just happened to be with him. And that's what happened. So
he's going to add the New Day next, calling it right now.
Yeah. All right. So on Monday Night Raw, what
did they bring up? An NXT group, a little tag team. I'm almost positive that Fraxium is, I said it before, I'm pretty sure Fraxium is going to be a called up. I just don't think that they fit with those guys, though. Maybe it's, no. What about the Street Profits?
They're on SmackDown.
Shake it up, man. Shake up the draft and everything.
Yeah, I think we do need to, I think we do need to get another shakeup going. I 1,000% agree. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Raw. This surprised me, but John Cena was out, started the show with the championship, cutting a promo. I couldn't even tell you what he said. It wasn't really anything important. Basically talked about how he's the one true champion now and blah, blah, blah. I was hoping that we'd get the reveal of a spinner title. I figured during the WrestleMania post show on Sunday night, that wasn't going to happen because they already had his new side plates on the current belt. So that was kind of a bummer. I was really hoping we'd get just an ugly ass belt because he said he wanted to ruin wrestling, and what better way than with an ugly ass belt nobody's going to like.
I figured it was going to be a belt with the can't symbol in the middle instead of the actual symbol, WWE.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool. I'd be all about it. Absolutely. So anyways, out of nowhere, Randy Orton pops up. John Cena turns around, and I don't know if you heard this, but he went, shit, as he dropped the microphone. And
I did not.
Orton RKO'd Cena, and this is obviously going to be a title match at Backlash because Backlash is happening in St. Louis in Randy's hometown, and the Backlash poster is Randy's face. So clearly this is what we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Whatever. That's fine. I think we need to take a break from Cody for a while. Not saying we need it necessarily, but I think it's kind of nice right now to let Cody cool off and reset and figure out what you do with him next. So I can get behind one last Orton Cena match for sure.
The way that they're going with that, I feel like they should do something with like an ex-opponent that John Cena has had in the past. So, you know, you got Randy Orton, CM Punk, anyone else that pops up, you know, like, because you got 7 months of Edge. John Cena left. You got to do something good with him.
Go grab Edge.
Cope.
That's stupid.
Is Miz part of that too?
He could be.
So what, it's just going to be like John Cena's ghost of the past or kind of thing?
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. But, you know, half of them are in AEW right now, but...
Yeah, but I think they need to do it in an order where it's like, you can't have the Miz towards the end, because it'd just be like you start up here and then you just kind of go down.
Kurt Angle comes back for one more match.
Oh, God, no, please.
Perk Angle.
And he's the one yelling ruthless aggression.
Yeah. And then, like we mentioned, of course,
the slap.
We saw Lyra and Becky lose the tag titles less than 24 hours after they won them. And Becky turns on Lyra. So now I'm sure we're getting a Becky versus Lyra feud. Like you mentioned, I would like to see Becky join in with this new Paul Heyman faction that was formed later on in the night. Yeah. Well, anyways, past that, we saw New Day come out cutting a promo, Alpha Academy come out, And here comes the referee running down to the ring. And as the match is about to start, the lights go dark, and then we get the return of Rusev. Of course, to nobody's surprise, but he's still got a good pop. And I question bringing him out just to run over Alpha Academy because they're not the bottom of the card. But look, if you want to make an impact, why are they attacking Alpha Academy?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like lower mid-card stuff, and I feel like Rusev, if you're bringing him back, it should be in a bigger way, personally.
A little bit better than that,
I feel like they should have did it like at a PLE, because I understand that, you know, you got big returns after WrestleMania, but like I would have done it differently.
I mean, they didn't. It's always a Monday after WrestleMania, yeah. Is always the pops and whatnot, but they only had. Oh, never mind. Yeah, no, that was a good. I don't know. I thought it was good. I think they could have did it better, like Trav said. I think they can still do someone else in Backlash.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Anyways, later on we had Io Sky out in the ring. She's talking to the crowd, and then out comes Stephanie Vaquer, your NXT Women's Champion. Big pop for her. Stephanie right now is super over, and they end up having a match. And in the middle of it, Roxanne Perez comes into the ring and attacks Io Sky. And then she's joined by Julia soon after. Julia, of course, from NXT, who recently turned heel after losing to Stephanie Vaquer. And then Julia and Roxanne Perez have the advantage over Io, but then here comes Rhea Bloody Ripley for the save. And there is some staring down that's happening between Julia and Rhea. And yeah, it's very clear that we're probably going to get Julia and Roxanne Perez versus Rio and Ia, or Io and Rhea very soon. We saw a celebration with Jey Uso celebrating his title win with Sammy and Jimmy. Now, okay, let me get your thoughts on this. Gunther's out bitching to the crowd that, you know, that he lost the title and blah, blah, blah. Then he starts getting into Michael Cole's face. Michael Cole says, "Why are you mad at me? I'm not the one that tapped out." Gunther loses his fucking mind, gets Cole in a chokehold. And then out of nowhere, here comes Pat McAfee with the forearm straight to the face and takes Gunther down. Security comes out, breaking everybody up. And then Gunther takes Pat McAfee, puts him in a chokehold, and then it's night-night sleepy-bye time for Pat McAfee. Now, eventually, this all gets broken up, and I don't get commercials on Raw Netflix because of my VPN, so I saw the whole cell from the time that it was broken up to the time that Pat is choking and keeps having to take a break and slowly walking to the back, and it followed him through Gorilla and all this. And then he went to the trainer's room, and then we saw after commercial come back, he did walk into the trainer's room, and then Adam Pearce is trying to give Michael Cole the rest of the night off to recover, and Michael Cole's like, "No, I'm not going to let some bully keep me from doing my job." Mm-mm. So, sure seems like the next thing for Gunther is a match with Pat McAfee, huh?
No, it's my
uncle. I hope not.
It's your uncle? Is your uncle also Michael. Named Pat?
No, it's Michael Cole, I said.
Oh, Michael Cole. I thought you said my uncle. Like, what?
Maybe. Otherwise, they're probably going to drag this out for a little bit on how he hurt Pat. I don't know. I'm just wondering if it's like a, I wouldn't say like a change in commentators, but maybe
a write-off,
like
maybe
something like that for like a little bit for Pat. I don't know. But I know all of his write-offs are really due to the College Game Day stuff. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, which isn't a thing yet. So I think this is going to lead to a match. I would like to see Pat and his goons all in a match against Gunther. Every single one of them.
Gone.
Fuck it. Put Michael Cole in there, too. I don't care.
Do you guys see that Corey Graves tweeted out, like, three laughing faces?
Yes. He's so spiteful that he got taken off of Raw for Pat McAfee.
It's his own fault. He tried to spark a feud for no reason, and that's why he got taken off.
I mean, I'll go with the Corey versus Pat match.
Yeah, Corey is, he was cleared to wrestle.
Well, allegedly.
No, that's why he won. He even admitted that he tried to start a feud with Pat so that it would maybe get sparked and get going so that he could have a match with Pat.
Fair enough. Well, and of course, the other big thing that came out of Raw at the end there, and this is the first time, by the way, that Raw went over 2.5 hours in quite a while. So I wish we had more varying times of when it ends, because lately it's been like, oh, 9:30 is about to hit. We know it's about to be over, you know, just like it used to be back in USA 1. There's the kitty cat. Schwartz has kitty on his lap. She's so cute. Yeah. So to close out Monday Night Raw, Seth Rollins and Paul Heyman came out, and Seth is cutting a promo, and I don't think there was a lot of meaning behind it because goddamn, I can't remember anything he said. But that wasn't the takeaway. The takeaway was shortly after him and Paul came out, here comes CM Punk. He's taping up his right fist, and then he runs to the ring and starts pounding on Seth. I don't remember exactly the order of events here, but I believe Roman maybe came out next.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then out to even the odds, to everybody's surprise, nobody saw this coming, Bron Breakker joins in, and Seth and Bron both beat the shit out of CM Punk and Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. And we have a new alliance formed here, and what seems like to be possibly a new faction, Paul Heyman, Seth Rollins, and Bron Breakker. Paul did say on the Pat McAfee show a couple days before this that he was planning on going shopping, and looks like he picked up a good deal on Bron Breakker.
How much you want to bet CM Punk calls Bron Breakker a wannabe Ryback?
Oh, I would love it.
I'll throw $10 down right now.
$10. All right, I'm in.
Or he says something about his uncle.
Scott?
I mean, that kind of goes without saying. That's too easy. Scott and Rick.
No, he's... I think he's... I don't know. He might go after the family rather than... Why would he bring up Ryback? I know that he hates him, and I know they both...
Bron Breakker's built like a fucking tank, and so is Ryback. And they're both Paul Heyman guys.
I don't think wannabe Ryback, because I don't think anybody wants to be Ryback. But you can still make some kind of comparison to piss him off.
The big guy. Exactly.
What do you guys think of this new supposed faction that we have in Heyman, Breakker, and Seth?
More. I want more. Give me like two more dudes, maybe Becky in there. Just have your own little
and run that train.
Yes, exactly.
Too easy. So other than Becky, George, who would you like to see be a part of this along with them?
Okay, now I got to think of like SmackDown people.
No, this is on Raw. There's no SmackDown people.
Okay, what if they drafted from like NXT or SmackDown?
Yeah, but there's no draft happening right now.
Paul Heyman.
But it's Paul Heyman, though. He can do whatever he wants.
All right, so regardless of brand, who do you want to see in this?
Carmella Hayes.
Why?
That would be a good one.
I feel like...
I don't think it would be.
He hasn't got the push that he...
I don't think he fits. Mm. Like, currently, you got Bron and Seth, who have both been pushed and who have had a lot of success. Carmelo hasn't really had anything. Like, I don't see any reason Paul would be like, hey, you'd be perfect for this.
You never know.
What if they're trying to rebuild Evolution?
No, we've seen Evolution have multiple runs. I don't want to see another Evolution.
Well, because they have Bron Breakker, who is Batista. Seth is Triple H. I think Paul Heyman would essentially just kind of fit in as like a Ric Flair type thing, but he wouldn't wrestle, obviously. So you need like a young pup guy.
Austin Theory.
No, ooh. I don't think Austin.
That would work.
Even though him and Grayson are pretty all much no besties.
Like I said, I don't think all any of those fit just because they haven't had success yet. And it seems like Paul is seeking out people with success and accolades like Bron has had and like Seth has obviously had.
It isn't. I don't know about that. I mean, he can make anybody he wants.
I don't disagree. I think the difference, though, too, is that everybody that Paul Heyman has successfully managed and had really cool runs with, he had history with.
Mm-hmm.
Braun, because of his family. Roman, because of his family. CM Punk, because of, like, OVW and ECW. But, like, look
Seth
at, like...
Seth Rollins because of what?
Maybe that's the story that we're still yet to see. We don't know if this is going to be super fucking awesome or not. Like, it's a great first impression. But I'm just saying, if you look at everybody Heyman has managed, it has been people that he has long-standing history with, and maybe that's why it works as well as it has. But, like, if you look at Cesaro, if you look at Curtis Axel, if you look at Ryback, he tried to manage those guys, and what fucking happened with them? Nothing.
Dog water.
Absolute dog fucking water, man. So, who would I like to see be a part of this?
Bobby Lashley.
I don't know.
I don't think. Are you just straight up asking for a tag team?
No. I think if we think of adding more guys to this, like that, I want to see Becky in this too.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the first Paul Heyman girl.
What's that Dragunov dude doing?
He's still hurt, I think.
Oh.
He needs a return very soon.
I think this would have been potentially a good thing to debut Rusev in. Like, he's a big, powerful badass mm-hmm. who ran fucking rubshot in WWE once upon a time.
He had his own day.
Faction is
stupid. That would have been a cool way to bring him back.
He kept yelling that when he was standing there.
What's that?
They kept yelling Rusev Day.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
Chrissy Telly to shut the fuck up.
But it is Rusev Day, to be fair. I don't know.
Yeah, she actually snatched it out of me.
Shorts, who would you like to see be a part of this? If anybody.
Honestly, I really like that Austin Theory situation. But if you're going to bring Austin Theory in, you bring in Grayson Waller. Because you need... Okay. Here's my theory.
good old knee slapper.
You bring in the young guys so that Paul and Seth can give him the rub. Like, Braun Breaker is already established. He's really good. Austin Theory and Grayson Waller have not established themselves yet. They're just known as really good heels. And not even Austin Theory is really that good of a heel.
I think really good is a stretch. They're basically a comedy gimmick right now, though.
And they need someone like Paul to get them actually legitimized,
mm-hmm.
and this could do it.
I don't think there's
and
anything.
And they're so young, too.
I feel like there's nothing there for Paul to sink his teeth into. I don't think it fits the way everybody else does.
I mean, even if it's just Braun Seth... That's fine if they bring in Becky. Cool. Like,
yeah.
You got three big names.
Yeah. I don't think you have to have a ton of people a part of this. I just think it's interesting to think about where it could go from here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you're very close-minded on everything. No, I think you're just like.
Well, I think, though, if you have Braun and Seth, like, I think if you just have Braun and Seth, like, they almost can only do tag team stuff and tag team titles. Which is fine. I think if you want to really build your tag division up and make these monster heels for like and give somebody huge babyface victory over them and like really set the tag team division up for success, great. But I think this is bigger than that.
Okay, so obviously there's going to be a tag team match at Backlash with these two teams here, right?
Yeah,
That's when they're most likely going to bring in a third.
The third guy.
Who is the third man?
Becky's going to come underneath both of them and just go,
I'm the man.
What about...
Right under their legs.
What about somebody not in WWE? Or expected to be in WWE very soon?
Jeff Cobb.
Someone from AAA. But they got fired today.
No. I actually don't hate the Jeff Cobb thing, because if you want him to be a big badass monster, then you bring him in with top guys like this. As long as, you know, he can build his own character and maintain himself once this thing is over eventually. Mm-hmm. I don't hate that idea at all. So I guess all in all, that's where we're at with whatever this new group is. I'm sure it'll be named something eventually. I hope this fucking means Seth stops dressing like a fucking goon. That would be cool.
No, Heyman's going to start dressing like Seth, like Schwartz sent us the other day.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Heyman walking down in big old fucking clown shoes?
At this point, we need new music. We need new attire. We need Seth to stop cackling every time he says something. I think this should be the catalyst for a whole new character shift for Seth. Because if you want to portray him to really be a monster heel, this is the time to go all in on it, I think.
Does he really need to change a lot, though? I feel like he doesn't need to completely scrap everything. He doesn't need to scrap everything and restart with a new gimmick, essentially, for the group.
It definitely needs to be changed or advanced somehow.
Yeah. I think with more people that would help him. Yeah. I think he can still do his stupid fashion statements, but
no,
he might as well just turn into the freaking Messiah again.
Yeah. I don't know.
Which would work actually though this time, because he's actually being the Messiah to multiple people.
Well, he tried that with two other people and look what happened to them like three different times.
Yeah. A little tough. He actually has he can legitimize these people now.
Well,
ow.
Well, with that, now of course with the brand split, it's not just about the Raw after WrestleMania, it's also the SmackDown after WrestleMania. So with that, what are you guys expecting we see on SmackDown?
Say it, George. Say it.
Aleister Black?
Yeah, I mean, that's... Well, and we already know... I mean, we're assuming it's going to be Aleister Black based on the teasers we saw, and this last Friday, it did say... Oh, April 25th.
24th. 4th. I think it said 4, though. Or no, it did say 25. The 4-25.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like Cody's going to open the show. Pretty much apologize to the fans, and then he's going to go away for a couple weeks, you know, just, you know, have a just a little vacation, and he'll come back and work his way back up to the top, demand his rematch like Rhea.
Or maybe do you think on the way up, he takes the U.S. title from Jacob Fatu?
No.
But that could be like SummerSlam time.
I think that'd be a really cool first opponent for Jacob Fatu for the title.
Yeah, but do you really want to get Cody to lose twice in a row?
Wait, Cody? Oh, no. Cody's not going to have anything to do with the U.S. Championship. Not a chance. I don't see that.
He's going after the tag belts now. Finish the story. Part 2. Get it?
Yeah, he's actually going to... Yeah.
Hold on. What's been announced for SmackDown this week? SmackDown 425 card.
I don't think anything.
Make sure you keep that tuna. Honestly, I don't think I've heard anything so far.
Hmm. Okay. I can't find anything on it. Well, I think we're probably going to see, I don't know if we're going to see Cena on this. We're definitely going to see Orton on this talking about the RKO to Cena, I would expect. We'll see Aleister Black. I'm hoping we see the return of the Wyatt Six with Alexa Bliss. I think that would be awesome.
I would absolutely love that too. I think that would be a great pop.
Didn't they like tease something on the pre-show Sunday?
Did they?
I'm pretty sure. Or was it Monday?
I don't think it was Monday because they're on SmackDown.
Pretty sure it was the pre-show.
It seemed like they were kind of teasing something with Alexa Bliss because she was, you know, on SmackDown the few weeks after Rumble, and then she kind of disappeared again. So I don't know what's happening. I can only assume that she's not around because they're preparing for this whole Wyatt Six thing to pick up, and hopefully that is the case.
I did read that Bo Dallas was injured.
Yeah, I did hear that as well. And it seems as though the members have been teasing returns on social media, so fingers crossed, right? We'll see what happens. But I think the SmackDown after Mania would be a great time to return. And hopefully they do something meaningful and cool with them, and it's not for nothing, I guess.
I want it to be like the first time they showed up.
Oh, yeah, they fucking massacred everyone. That was wild.
They got my boy Chad.
Oh, yeah, that was another thing that happened. Yeah, El Grande defeated Rey Fenix at WrestleMania.
So do you think he still would have won if it was Rey Mysterio?
Maybe. I think he probably would have been demasked if it was Rey. I'm not sure. It's hard to say. Not 100% sure.
Rey would have been demasked?
No, El Grande.
I'm just kidding.
I bet when Rey retires, that's what happens, though. I bet he gets demasked.
No.
I think so.
You don't do that to him.
That's like traditional luchador shit, though. That's what usually happens when you retire. Your mask gets taken off.
Or like Undertaker putting his boots and hat down in the ring.
And then coming back for a match the year after. Yeah, it makes sense.
Like four matches.
Right. Somebody said something about this earlier. One of the big things that happened in the weekend, a bigger news story, I guess, not like it stole the weekend.
Was it Stone Cold crashing his ATV?
Oh my God. Yeah. Let's,
fuck that woman.
Whoa. Yeah. Let's touch on that really quick. Stone Cold came out on his ATV. All he was going to do was announce the attendance for Sunday. And after all this happened, video surfaced where Austin first missed the ramp going up the stage because apparently he didn't know where he was supposed to go. And he had to back up and get his four-wheeler unstuck from the bottom of the ramp. And then he finally made it up to the stage and down to the ring. And then on his second lap around the ring, and he was ripping. He was really ripping. And that thing did not turn the way that he wanted it to on one of the corners. And the four-wheeler went into the barricade and got pushed seemingly into a girl that was sitting in the front row.
She sold it.
And as soon as that happened, Nick Khan was right there talking to her, and I'm sure trying to do whatever he could to not get them sued. So she's got front row tickets to every WWE show the rest of her life.
Probably a sign belt from fucking everyone.
So yeah, that happened. So that was something. Yeah. A lot of memes came out of it, so that's exciting. But yeah, one of the bigger news stories I was referring to happened in the pre-show, I believe on Saturday. And WWE announced that they have acquired Mexican luchador promotion, AAA. And reports came out today that their champion, Alberto El Patron, has been released. I can't believe it took that long. They fucking hate this guy, and they should. Alberto's a piece of shit.
Wait, what was he was the current champion, right?
Correct.
Jesus.
Yep. So, of course, I haven't confirmed this or anything, but those are just reports I've seen online, and that should be no surprise to anybody that would happen. They do not want this guy anywhere near their properties. So I just think that's funny, is all.
I mean, yeah, they Try to stay away from that guy.
Well, we all know where he's going next.
Where's that?
Yeah. All Elite.
CMLL.
Yeah, actually. Yeah,
CMLL does have a relationship right now with AEW.
They do.
Well, boys, did we have any other thoughts on WrestleMania or any of the aftermath?
No, I liked Raw. Raw was good.
Raw was really good.
I agree full-heartedly. All right, well, onward to SmackDown this Friday, boys. We're going to play you out with a little song from the new A Day to Remember album. This song is called Make It Make Sense. Hell yeah, brother. Oh, yeah. Just jam out a little with me. Just a little bit. George's got the belt up.
Dropping on my head.
Here it is. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to leave you with that right there. Thank you for checking out Unprofessional Wrestling. Do not forget, right here on YouTube, click that subscribe button. That's a WWE saying, I don't want to. Make it make sense. I don't want to. If you're on YouTube right here, don't forget, hit that subscribe button, the like button, the notification bell, and leave us a comment. We're going to keep coming out with wrestling content, so make sure to do all those things to stay up to date with what we're doing. But on top of that, don't forget to also check us out on Apple and Spotify. Search Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. Leave us a rating, a review, a like, 5 stars, whatever those platforms do offer. And also don't forget, check out our Discord in the description right here on YouTube or on your favorite audio streaming platform. Join our discussions in the Discord channel. That would be really neat. And also, don't forget to check us out on Facebook and X. We'll give you the old salute, and we'll see you next time right here on Unprofessional Wrestling.
You, like, have all that written down?
What's that?
Like, the like, comment, subscribe shit?
Fuck no.
Jesus.